Our scripture today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to read verses 15 through 17 as our base text this morning. Will you please stand with me as I read? You can read along silently in whatever rendering you have. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this time that we have to come before you freely and openly. We thank you for the privilege to do so in this nation in which we live. Father, we recognize that we are sinful creatures, that we are plagued with it, that there are times that we are weak and frail and even at times openly rebellious against you. Yet you are a loving God. You are faithful. As we explore that more this morning, we just pray, Father, that our hearts are thankful, that we do indeed regard you as our loving Heavenly Father and seek to allow the Word and the Holy Spirit to have an impact on our daily life, even as it affects, yes, even our attitude in our daily life. Father, it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do you know the situation in which this letter was written? The book of Colossians in your Bible, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae, not too far from Ephesus, for which we get our book of Ephesians. It was a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, at the same time that he wrote this letter to the church at Colossae, at the same time that he wrote a letter to a church at Philippi called Philippians. As the Apostle Paul wrote those letters and a few others, he was in prison. The Apostle Paul was in prison when he penned these words this morning. His liberty was restrained by the length of chains. He was handcuffed, chained to a guard 24/7. No personal liberties whatsoever. His missionary journeys were ended. He had been traveling for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the gospel, all around the area, establishing churches, preaching the gospel of the grace of God. He couldn't do that now, obviously. So his ministry was stalled, right? His life at this time and his future were in the hands of a tyrant, Nero. It would seem like all was lost. I just want you this morning to get that picture, because now I want you to put yourself there. This is you now. You've been traveling, doing these things for the Lord, and it's been tough. But now, you're in prison as an enemy of the state, chained to a guard 24/7. What's your attitude? How would you approach that? I do really want you to seriously think about that. And then when you went to the Lord to pray, what would be your prayer? What would be the content of your prayer in that situation? Oh, I can come up with a lot. You know, praying that my captivity might be short, that I might be able to get out of here soon. Praying that it would go well. Praying that, you know, maybe I'll escape torture. If I have to die, Lord, let's let it be a quick death, okay? Let's agree on that. Maybe even pray that, hey, once again, an angel might come let me out of prison. That had happened to the Apostle Paul when he was in jail in Philippi. An angel came and let him out during the night. He and Silas, maybe that could happen again, Lord. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? I could go on about what my prayer might be like. But then I stop and I picture the Apostle Paul. And if we could listen in on the Apostle Paul as he prayed, I think it would probably go something more like this. Thank you, Lord, for this time of adversity that draws me nearer to you. Thank you, Lord, for this house where I am held captive. At least it's a house and not a dungeon. Thank you, Lord, that I am still allowed to receive friends and visitors. Thank you, Lord, that even though I can't travel to the churches, now I have time to write heartfelt letters to each one of those churches. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to tell these guards about Jesus Christ, so that the whole of the Praetorian Guard has now heard of the gospel of the grace of God. They have now heard about your love, Father, because I am here. Thank you. And so it would go. For the Apostle Paul, even in prison, finding reasons, sincere reasons, to be thankful. There's a lot that we could unpack from these verses, just a few verses in Colossians 3 that we're looking at this morning, but I just want to focus, because we're about to celebrate our National Day of Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving holiday in the United States of America. I just want to focus on this idea of being thankful, so much so it just flows right out of my mouth. Notice that in verse 15, that the end of that verse, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and when things are good, you might want to be thankful. Not at all what it says. It says, be thankful. That's a command. We are commanded to be thankful. As Christians, we should have an attitude of thanksgiving, not just once a year, but every day of our lives, all throughout the year, regardless of what the circumstances are in our life. The language here is in the present tense, meaning that Christians are to continually be expressing an attitude of thankfulness. Notice we only read three verses, 15, 16, and 17, but in that short three verses, twice Paul mentioned us being thankful. At the end of verse 15 there, where it's a command, be thankful. And then in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. In fact, just a couple of pages from where we are right here. Once again, we are commanded to be thankful. We are commanded to have an attitude of gratefulness and gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness. Paul here mentioning how we should conduct ourselves in our daily life in Ephesians chapter 5. Breaking in verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always in all things. As we embark upon this Thanksgiving week, I know you got a lot on your plate. I mean, it's just the fact of the world that we live in today. It's each and every one of our lives. We have a lot going on. So many things to think about just getting ready for the holiday as well. I mean, we're thinking about the food, right? We're thinking about the family and friends that we're going to spend time with, and we're thinking about the food, and we're thinking about shopping, right? I mean, the Christmas holiday season is about to kick off. If you've not started shopping yet, now's probably a good time to think about that. And, last of all, you might be thinking about the food. Did I mention the food? You tell I'm excited about Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. Things that we get to eat that we only make it that one time a year. And that's okay. These are all reasons to be thankful. Everything I just mentioned. Thankful for the Christmas season, because it's the time that we celebrate the coming of our Savior. But let's not just have a festive holiday. I mean, anybody in the world, Christian or not, can have a festive holiday. What we need to do as Christians is be truly thankful for everything that we have and enjoy. What I mean is we need to be intentionally thankful. I mean, not just thankful in general, that's okay too. But we really need to be intentionally thankful to God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to focus on individual particular things for which we really are thankful, and really let God know about it. Thankful to God and for all of His blessings that He gives us. Our society doesn't really foster an attitude of gratefulness. I don't know if you've noticed that. Or thankfulness as a general rule. It's just not how things go. But you know who is behind that? Just as we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and blesses us, we have an enemy also. Satan would like nothing more than to keep you from realizing all the things that you have for which you should be thankful to the Heavenly Father for. He would rather you to consider yourself downtrodden. He would rather you to consider yourself oppressed, even if you aren't. A lot of people have that attitude and that mindset when they really are. They really are blessed. But you see, Satan likes it that way. Because when you operate in that mode of thinking, in that attitude, then you're not going to experience the joy of your relationship with God. And He doesn't want you to. We need to experience the joy of our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. I mean, really being thankful to Him. And doing so will start, of course, with accepting His gift of salvation and what He's done for us. You're in Ephesians chapter 5. Maybe turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul presents the gift of salvation being offered to us. And he says in verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." The Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, picture that. God took on the form of flesh, came to the earth, suffered among us, even to the point of suffering a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, shedding His own blood for my sake, for your sake, for my sins and yours. He died our death. The cruel death that He died was ours. We deserved it because of our sins. But He didn't, you see. He was the sinless Son of God, but He shed His blood. The book of Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood. And our sins aren't just covered like those animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. The blood of Christ will wash our sins away if you only accept it. You see, the work is already done. All you have to do is accept what Jesus Christ has done. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof that God was satisfied with the payment that Christ paid for our sins. And if you will just accept that finished work, God will give you eternal life. You see, it's a gift. And that's what Paul is talking about here. It's not of ourselves. We didn't work for it. In fact, we can't. There's absolutely no way we can. But God really wants to give it to you. It's a gift of God, he says. Not of works. Lest anyone should boast or brag about what they've done. I said this before. I feel like it's repeating it. It's worth repeating. Can you imagine if we really could work for our salvation? How nauseating that would be when we got to heaven. When you talk about all the good things you did to get to heaven, and then somebody else breaks in and says, "Oh, that's nothing. Listen what I did." Nauseating. We can't work for it. We can't brag about it. But God really wants to give you this awesome gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then from there, once we accept that, we learn that everything good comes from our Heavenly Father. Everything. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James said, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." Knowing the source of blessing, then, requires a response on our end, I believe. When we know that the source of the blessing of all the good things that we have come from God our Father, that requires a response for us of praise to Him. Of really being thankful. Again, intentionally thankful to God for what He has done for us. Hold your place here and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we're going to read the whole chapter. It's only 5 verses. It's okay. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. Of course, psalms mean songs. Most of them written by David, Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving, starting with verse 1. It says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Hold your place here. We're coming back to the Psalms in a bit. You know, one of the worst sins of man, I believe, is not being thankful to God. And I wish I could say it's only the unbelievers that are guilty of that. Unfortunately, though, it's us as well. Believers, even children of God, we aren't thankful. But you know what? Even for those who aren't the children of God, God still blesses them. And even though they don't want to know Him, God still sends them blessings. Turn to Romans chapter 1. You know, people sometimes wonder, why is it that God only dealt with Abraham and his descendants? Why is it that God only dealt with the Hebrew nation? Why is it that way? Because the world was in such a condition that nobody really wanted to have a relationship with God. Nobody wanted to know. I mean, they knew of God, but they didn't want to know God. And so the world just, God decided to just let the world go its own way. I mean, if the world didn't want to know Him, fine. And so He called out one man, Abraham, and to Abraham and his descendants, He had a relationship. That's why God only worked with Israel. Abraham's son Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. That's why they're the nation of Israel, the nation of the people of Jacob. But now God works with everybody. But in the Old Testament, that's why. And the Apostle Paul records what happened there here in Romans chapter 1. There's a lot here, but again, we'll just look at a couple of verses. Let's look at verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen," speaking of God, "being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." They knew God. They knew of God, but they didn't want to know God. Didn't want to have a relationship with Him. And despite all the things He had given to mankind in general, the daily blessings that we are provided, they were not thankful. We are to be thankful. I mean, it's horrendous to think that the children of God, at least, are not thankful to God. That's why the Apostle Paul, over and over again, tells us to be thankful. I mean, we saw it two times in the three verses right there. Do you know it occurs in other passages in that same letter to these Colossians? I mean, you might start to think, well, were they really not thankful? Hey, look at your own life. I mean, don't blame the people at Colossae. I mean, look at yourself. Are you really as thankful as you should be? Look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Abounding in your faith with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. "Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving." Praying with thanksgiving. You know, a big part of our problem, I think, is just we just take things for granted. Because it's there every day, and because God blesses us with it every day, we forget that it's a blessing of God. We just take it for granted that it's going to be there. If we really thought about all the things that we have for which to be thankful, then I think even when tough times come our way, we'll recognize it's really not that bad. I think many times we create how bad it is because we're focusing on the wrong thing. We're focusing on the problems instead of the blessings. We're focusing on the problems instead of the work of God that's transpiring even through those problems. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Back a few pages there in Colossians. Back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It's verses I know that you are familiar with. The Apostle Paul starts out and he says, "Be anxious for nothing." If you have a King James rendering this morning, it says, "Be careful for nothing." Language changes over time. And so what that word means has kind of changed as well. The idea, though, there is that don't be anxious about things when it says, "Be careful for nothing." Or what we would say today is, what? Don't worry about stuff. I was listening to a message from Chuck Swindoll just recently, and he said everything in life for the Christian can be summed up in three statements. Everything in life for the Christian can be summed up in three statements. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. And be thankful for anything that comes. He probably said everything. He's just using a different word. But yeah, worry about nothing, the Apostle Paul says. And also in this verse, he says, pray about everything. But we also know that we are to be thankful for anything that comes our way. Well, that's a tough statement, isn't it? That's hard to swallow. Even the tough times that come our way, we are to be thankful for it. Because we know it doesn't just happen by random chance. We know that whatever we go through as a child of God, God is behind it. God is in control of it. God is working out some purpose. Now, we may never know what it is in this life before it's our time to depart. But that's what our faith asks us to do, to trust God, that He really does know what's best. He has the whole picture in mind, whereas all we got in mind is just our little, you know, comfort zone of our little life going on. But who knows that what you're going through really is a blessing to someone else, that it really does help them, that they see how you handle it as a child of God, and it helps them handle it as well. Let's read these verses. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the King James, it says rule, and I kind of like that better. It'll rule your hearts. The peace of God will rule your hearts. It's a military term. You can see that either way. To guard your hearts. You can get the idea of somebody standing as a sentinel, as a guard against your heart. But the reason I like the word rule is because it describes a person who gives the orders, right? That military term. Guard may not necessarily be the one who's giving the orders as their standing guard. Maybe they're just taking the orders. But rule, you get the idea of the person who gives the orders. A person who is in control. Now listen, we can't always control the situation. It'd be great if we could, I think, sometimes, right? But we got to let God be God, right? We can't control the situation, but we can control our reaction to it. And we can trust God. And when we go to God in prayer, I think a lot of times it realigns our attitude. It readjusts us to God's will. When we go to God in prayer, prayer can rule, you see. Prayer can cause the peace of God to overrule whatever else is going on in our life. Prayer is a time of meditation as we meet with God and refocus ourselves to get ourselves in the right frame of mind, to get ourselves back in the correct perspective of what it really is what's really going on in our life. The proper perspective about life. The cartoon, Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown is bringing Snoopy out his food in the evening, Thanksgiving. Charlie Brown carrying this bowl out. And then he sets it down and walks away. And Snoopy goes over and looks in the bowl and he thinks, this isn't fair. Today is Thanksgiving. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings. But I'm a dog, so what do I get? Dog food. And then he pauses, contemplates for a moment as he's staring at the bowl of food. And then he thinks, well, I guess it could be worse. I guess I could have been born a turkey. Proper perspective, you see. It's just not in our nature to be thankful. We can admit that. Many times we really don't realize how great we have it. I want to just give you a few general statistics just to help you out just a little bit. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're in better shape than about a million people who are going to die today of disease or some other health ailment. If you've never experienced the danger of being in battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, you're ahead of about 500 million people worldwide today. If you can attend a Christian church service without fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death for you or your family, you're ahead of about 3 billion people worldwide. Listen, if you have a roof over your head, a secure place to sleep tonight, food in the refrigerator, a change of clothes, some spare change in your pocket, you are of the richest quarter of the population in the world. Now, we just consider those things that we have every day, right? Some of those things that we might just take for granted that it's going to be there. But 75% of the world's population does not have that. 75% of the people on the planet would love to have the problems that you have. But let's not get hung up on the material things, you see. God's love for us isn't expressed to us in the size of our bank account. I'm just pointing out that you most likely have much for which to be thankful. But even lacking those things, God expresses His love for us in breathtaking ways. Have you looked at the fall foliage this season? It's another one of those things. It happens. We expect it to be there. The cool weather, I love it. It's my favorite time of year. My wife hates it. But that's the thing, you see. Pick your season. God blesses us with all of them. Well, except in Texas. It's all summer with a few days of winter. Seriously, though, when we just step out the door, you can look around and see God's love expressed all around us. And we tend to take those things for granted every day. Turn to Psalm chapter 19. I ask you to hold your place there. Turn to Psalm 19. Another song of praise from the hand of David. Psalm chapter 19, we're just going to read the first four verses here. We're not going to read this whole chapter. First four verses, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That is, the voice of creation praising our God who loves us so much that provided it for us. If you just look, if you just have the eyes to see it. But most people today simply don't take the time to thank God even for the creation that He's provided for us. It's there for us to behold every day. I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again. What if the stars were only visible one night a year? Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, we'd all be out there that one night a year to go look at the magnificence of the stars. Or what if a full moon only came around about once every 5 years? Well, we get one about once a month, sometimes two in a month, right? how wonderful it is. God gives such grand expression for His love for us every day, and we just pass on by and take it for granted. Turn back to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, starting with verse 3. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." God has done so much for us. Take time to be thankful. Maybe things really are tough for you right now. Maybe it really is a serious situation. Maybe you really are going through some terrible time of physical suffering. Maybe you really are going through some terrible time of extreme financial distress. What does the Word of God have to say about that? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Forward a little bit from our passage in Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read three short verses again, verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting with verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice when things are great." Nope. Two words, a command again. Rejoice, how often? When? Always. Pray without ceasing. In the things that are good in your life that feel good, give thanks. No, it's not what it says. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. I know that's tough. I know that's tough. Sometimes it doesn't feel great when we're in those circumstances. But we can still trust, again, that our God is a sovereign God. And He knows what He's doing. Be thankful for what? Anything that comes our way, good or bad. Because even in the bad, God is working it out. God is accomplishing a purpose. He is God. We are not. Sometimes we just have to let Him be God. But think about it. No matter what you go through, physically or financially or politically, or add to it, what did the Apostle Paul say? "I am convinced that neither height nor depth nor this nor that nor whatever else can separate me from what? The love of God. I am secure no matter what happens. I am secure in my position in Jesus Christ. That is permanent. My circumstances are temporary. My circumstances on earth. My position in heaven, permanent. Secure. Even when things are bad." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul went through a whole laundry list of all the things that he and his companions had suffered for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ as they were traveling around preaching God's love and God's message of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Obviously, there were some very tough times that he went through. Not every situation was a happy one. But as he's going through that list, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "We are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." What? Sorrowful, but always rejoicing? Because joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy, something that wells up within us. Because of the Father's love for us. Our circumstances may fluctuate, but our position and our Heavenly Father does not. So then, we can rest in the fact that all of it is a temporary condition. That one day we will be with God in heaven for eternity. But right now we are here. Right now there are some tough times. But again, I'm sure we can still find much for which to be thankful. Not just when things are going good, but even when things are bad. If we really stop and think about it, we probably still, even in those times, have much for which to be thankful. I know there's tough times we go through physical distress and illness, maybe even prolonged in nature. Same thing with financial distress. Maybe there's times we feel just completely beaten down. I know there's times it's not easy to be thankful, but we must be thankful. It's a command. Be thankful, the Apostle Paul said. Because the Apostle Paul knows that when we focus on the right thing, when we focus on God, all of those problems begin to shrink in comparison. I hope you have learned that also. I hope today is just a reminder for you. And this is a good time to remind ourselves of all the things for which we have to be thankful in our daily life. Let's be intentionally thankful, especially this week. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time that we've had to look into your word. We thank you for the challenge that we find, a challenge to be thankful. We thank you, Father, that we are reminded over and over again to be thankful, because we know we need the reminder. We know, Father, that it does not come naturally to us. We know that by the disposition of our flesh, we are not content. We are not thankful. And also, we are rebellious at times. But thank you, Father, for your great and awesome love displayed all around us every day. We just pray that we have the eyes to see it, that we open them now and then to look at the things that we take for granted on a daily basis and to be intentionally thankful to you for it. We're thankful, Father, for this great nation in which we live. We're thankful for this national holiday of Thanksgiving. And we just pray, Father, that we are mindful to let those around us know of the most important thing in our life that we are thankful for, your great and awesome love. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we ask this prayer and give you the praise. Amen.